Episode 10.5 of Consistently Above Average is coming to you on location once again from Rome. Now, I have to admit, I was a little bit thrown off about this episode. Thought it would be as simple as sticking the microphone on, having a bit of a laugh at someone, and then releasing it. We did have a chat, and you are going to hear it. But I have to admit that as much as I enjoyed it, I'm sitting here in Rome with one microphone, a mixer that's only capable of taking one direct mic input, and it connects directly to my laptop to record into some software. I think for the future, I'm going to look to invest in something easier, more portable, that I can just use to be able to plug multiple mics in and record as much of a seamless conversation as possible. And I do have a decent level of audio proficiency through college and stuff, but just pressing go and getting something recorded and putting out there, it actually felt like it would lower the standard of what we have done over the previous 10 episodes. So, thanks to popular demand, the definition of popular demand in my mind is as long as one person says you should do that, that's popular demand. But we do have a guest on this episode. We spoke to our friend of the show, Gianluca Maltese, in the Airbnb after getting some dinner on Sunday night. But this episode is going to be slightly longer, and it's also going to be split into three different parts. The first part is me sitting here recording this at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have decided to forego sleep because I am paranoid about traveling to the airport in a couple of hours' time, 1 hour's time from now, to be honest. My dad did try and tell me last night, go to the airport at 10:30 or 11 or whenever the last bus is and sleep there. Johnny was correct. I should have done that. I am drinking freshly brewed coffee from the Mocha Pot. I'm hoping that it's going to keep me going. The plan as of recording right now is that I'm going to be meeting Jack Dolan and Ronan Deegan at the central station in Ostia, and we have a taxi booked provisionally through Freenow. We seemingly have this taxi booked. Now, for Ronan and I, we're both on a flight at 7:30 going direct to Dublin. Jack, on the other hand, is an adventurous traveller. He's decided he would like to go home through Geneva for a couple of hours first. Now, by all accounts, Geneva Airport, lovely airport, wouldn't let me sleep in it overnight about a year ago, but his flight is going to be at 6. So without wanting to leave a man behind, myself and Ronan agreed to go to the airport earlier than we would need to in order to assist him getting to the airport safely. So best case scenario, we're going to be at getting a taxi in 1 hour and 15 minutes from now. The worst case scenario is that Jack's going to have to rent a scooter, e-scooter, and he's going to have to scoot 9 kilometers to the airport, which is a legitimate suggestion from Google because you can rent them nearby. And then Ronan and I will get a bus at 5:20 in the morning, and we'll be at the airport within 25 minutes. So over an hour and a half before our flight leaves, which is going to leave Jack screwed, to be honest, all things considered, if we can't get a taxi. Could be hilarious, might not be hilarious. Stay tuned until the end of this episode, which will be recorded from Fiumicino Airport with the last minute updates before we get on the flight, and will make me look like quite a little social busybody working in an airport recording aimlessly into a microphone. So there we go. After this little chat, you're also going to hear me and John. But from the top of my head, over the course of the weekend as well, without being mean, forgetting anyone that I'm aware of or that I've seen on Instagram already in the couple of days, I'm only about to talk about today. And me and John do talk about this a little bit, but I felt like, okay, we mentioned some people, but as soon as I stopped recording, I was like, oh, what about this? What about that? What about them? And if I'm going to get into the habit of maybe doing these sort of things, I'm going to have maybe different people help me out in terms of how many people are competing, who medaled, who did what, blah, 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 instead of just making it seem like we're picking favorites. Of course we have favorites. And if we mentioned you, of course you're our favorite, but apologies to anyone that I didn't mention or missed out in terms of the results. So starting with purples today, Conor Maron, Carol Hotek, and James Baker all took bronze medals in purple belt adult divisions. They had multiple matches each required to medal. Three brilliant competitors by all accounts. And I saw some of each of their matches at different points in the day. Their achievement now, the standard of jiu-jitsu is much higher than it was in 2018 after my fluke purple belt Europeans podium appearance. And I like there was some big moments of digging deep required by them at different parts in their matches to get out on top. Carol's quarterfinal was insanely tight. He left it all there, to be fair to him, and it was brilliant. He hung on to get the win on points. James Baker had a tricky enough 50-50 type battle with someone and was on the back end for quite a while before getting himself on top, scoring the points, and got himself onto the podium. Conor Maron ran up a cricket score on some Italian lad in his quarterfinal, which I think was 30 points to zero at the end, which is very, very good. Unfortunately, thanks to the IBJJF scheduling on some of the mats, I did think that I had 16 or 17 minutes before Conor's next match, and I wanted to be there to support him for the semi-final. I ran outside to grab a Coke Zero, ring my mate back, I had two missed calls from him. I come back in within the 16 minutes and Conor's match had already been finished. He lost the semi-final by two advantages. Great showing from purple belt medalists there. Grace Colley from Brew Grappling Academy took gold. Her teammate Katie, I don't know Katie's last name, sorry, and I don't have BJJ comp system open in front of me, but Katie's a lighter weight, I think, a brown belt, and she took bronze as well. Zara DiTofano finally got her major gold medal after collecting a serious collection of them at purple belt between gi and no gi European divisions. That's three adult brown belt girls, two golds, one bronze, all medaling in three different divisions, which is a very, very good achievement. One step ahead at the ranks, we had Rosa Walsh, who continued a Cork medal haul for this weekend. She came up short in her final against Brianna Stee Marie, who's one of the best girls in the world at her weight across gi and no gi. Brianna got four gold medals this week. Double gold in... Oh, no, I don't think she got double gold in the no gi absolute. That's my bad. But she got double gold in the gi tournament earlier on during the week and then won the division. One thing I will say about that in particular is that Rosa in her semi-final this year beat the same girl that she came up against last year. I think that girl had wins over her previously, and last year was her first time Rosa's first time beating her. And from what I can remember, the match last year was very back and forth, and she may have scored in the last minute or so to get the win on points. This time, same opponent 1 year later, and she submitted her within 4 minutes. So even though took silver this year against a world-class opponent compared to gold last year, and I'm pretty sure has only competed once between then and now in terms of no-gi worlds, but that's definitely something that I would go as a positive if you're going to look at different outcomes and different reasons to be positive about it, is that, well, hard-fought, back-and-forth match against somebody last year and submitting them this year is a great indicator. In the same sort of vein, Sam McNally, he lost by an advantage to his same opponent from last year's final as well. Sam got injured in the final last year and was brought off to hospital and was submitted. And this year, I think, lost by an advantage and was carrying a big injury going into the match that prevented him from being able to train and prepare properly in the weeks leading up to it. Like, against someone who's as active and high level as his opponent Julian, look, these things are going to be disappointing to these people. I understand they're high level black belt professional competitors, so I'm not trying to sugarcoat it and saying like, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it, you did really well, like, we're all so proud of you. I know that they would have wanted to win. But, for example, with Sam, he owns and operates a gym on a full-time basis. Julian, who beat him, does teach, but I'm not sure if he owns his gym in Costa Rica. and he travels around the world training, competing, doing seminars on a full-time basis. So for Sam to be at home in Dublin growing his student base alongside his wife Emily and growing their business as well, while still being capable of performing at the world level, winning multiple matches, getting to a final and losing by a hair's breadth, is a great achievement in itself. It also can galvanize his students, shows them leading the way, and he had students in terms of Grace and Katie and others at different belts and who medaled and performed really well. So the honourable last shout out as well goes to someone who didn't even compete, in the form of Marcus Phelan. He won black belt adult Europeans last year, but has recently taken over the running of the East Coast Jiu-Jitsu Academy location in Dublin, moved to a new gym, all of this sort of stuff. He coached multiple athletes across male, female, adult, master from locations in Ireland and around the UK, put the time aside leading up to this tournament to help prepare some of the younger students who were all going off, and to coach the younger lads and ladies and put their development at this point ahead of himself. I think that's something that definitely deserves a shout out as well. John Luca, he took silver in the super heavy division at black belt. He suffered a double DQ call in the absolute division. Seven matches over the course of the weekend, major black belt debut, scored four submissions, 1 points win, a DQ loss and a points loss. So 5-2 over the course of the weekend, I think. The points loss was in the final against a guy called Rafael Lovato Jr. He was the second American in history behind BJ Penn. Four in total have done it overall, maybe five actually now. Again, I'm recording this live now. Isaac Dodeline, Mikey Musumeci, Shane Hill Taylor, and Lovato and BJ Penn, all of the people that I think that are American males that have won worlds. Anyway, Lovato won it first in 2007 when John Luca, who competed against him today, was only 9 years old. So Lovato is kicking around and had one of his most, one of Ireland's most notable competitors and coaches in the form of Dara O'Connell in his corner. The pair have had like a training, coaching, affiliation, mentorship type relationship for well over 10 years. And Lovato is in sublime shape for a man of his age, has to be said. Regardless, John did have his chances. Two submission attempts on his legs were not enough for him to overcome the points victory that Lovato had gotten. But what a black belt major debut in that sense for John Luca. And there was a host of master athletes competing as well. I don't have the list, and I'm sure there is one floating around on Facebook in the Ireland BJJ group. So I am genuinely sorry about this. This is not me picking sides, whatever, whatever. In terms of masters, I did see it shared on Instagram a bit. Killian Lawler got two quick wins. Don't know what he did after that. And I did see a black belt from Tim Murphy's gym in Galway win a gold medal in his category. Dave Tiernan and Tim Murphy's guy was a black belt as well, so that's a great achievement. Quick shout to my teammate as well, Dave Tiernan. He's a dad, full-time job and a black belt, competed in the Master 4 division, first international competition he's ever done. He lost by two takedowns, 4-0, and the guy who he came up against was the number one seed. Bit of experience, bit more competition savviness, got his points, played it well, and I was delighted secretly that despite losses from both of us, that we were both able to prepare adequately, pretty well in Dundalk with all the people we train with, and head off and not get hockeyed. And John will go into it when we're chatting, when I'm going to clip on the bit of our chat, but I did compete myself on Friday. The last podcast was me signing off before I went to compete, which I did find quite a strange process to go through when it came to like recording it and whatever, but I competed on Friday, catching what I believe is the nicest submission that I've performed in a competition since I got my black belt, in the first match that just have easily could have been called for going out of bounds by the ref if there had been action going on too close to us on the other mat. I was very lucky that in the transition that I was I put my right foot against his hip and I was using it as a recovery, as an inversion. And I just knew that by pushing off my right hip and continuing my inversion here, my left leg is going to land in a certain position over the back of his neck, allowing me to threaten the triangle and go for the armbar quick. But I'm going to have to rely on building up onto my head on the transition of the armbar to be able to get it quick and fast. I was very lucky that the transition happened nicely alongside a little pop of the elbow and a verbal tap from my opponent as he was physically tapping as well on the transition just before it went fully out of the boundary. So I did get a couple of messages from teammates at home who were watching who had no idea how I had won, because on the live stream it went like out of view of the camera onto the other mat. But like, I've definitely had wins as a black belt so far that you feel that you got tired or slugged it out on points or got lucky or held it out to be a bit of a scumbag. But for me, the biggest boost from this weekend was to catch something like that, that my training partners and people I train with may know as a move or a type of jiu-jitsu that I'd be quite good at least in the gym. But reassuring in the sense that what can work in the gym can work at the highest level that I would currently compete at. So quite happy with that in terms of the first match. And I ended up losing on points in my quarterfinal match to a guy from Greece. Very tough match. Very strong for the weight. First time competing at 73.5 kilo. And it was pointed out to me that I don't have the most impressive looking hamstrings in the world, but compared to this man, there was no comparison. Aside from the fact that I was physically or literally coloured pale in comparison compared to the Greek man, the size of his legs was insane. And at the end of the day, he played his game much better than I was able to play mine. I can have no complaints in that sense. I take responsibility for what happens when I compete and how I can try and improve it. I'll admit, no problem, I could have taken the easy way out in a guillotine. I was caught in it. I let you in on a little middle of the night, 3:15 a.m. secret here. I did think about it. Like, genuinely, the thought came into my head. I was like, you can tap here. There's no shame in tapping here. He's caught you. That's fine. Just take the easy way out here. You're already 9 down on points. Just, you're not going to get the points back, blah, blah, blah. And thankfully, my body reacted quicker than my mind in terms of continuing to talk to myself. Controlled his wrist, gave myself a bit of space, bit of breathing room, was able to get myself out and was buzzing with that, to be honest. Just small little wins like that where you know you didn't quit on yourself. I did have one chance in the match to get a submission and I felt like I had a good bite in his arm that caused a bit of fast panic and reaction from my opponent. Had to escape, pull his arm out very fast. I'm also very aware of how I'm talking at the moment because it's 3:15. Bit of a hollow room here where I'm recording this and I don't want to think that I'm waking up the person upstairs. So sorry about that if it's not the usual whoa, 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 whoa that you're used to. But fair play to your man. Good win. Not the bronze medal that I would have got if I had won that match, minimum. But I don't think that would have been much better, to be fair, as I do think either, generally speaking, win the bracket or you get a lucky draw until you come up against the person who beats you. You know, I do fully believe now more than ever that I am capable of winning this particular tournament in the future. But regardless of my current result, I will always be proud to attempt to set an example to either people I train with or anyone in general about doing something anyway, even if it's going to be hard or that you might end up embarrassing yourself or coming up short. There are so many other things that I need to improve on apart from my jiu-jitsu. Lower body mobility being one, structure, posture, mechanics, be stricter on my weightlifting, what I'm fueling myself with before and after training, how much I'm studying jiu-jitsu outside of training, applying that stuff to classes, focused positional sort of improvements, trying to apply that stuff to classes that I'm teaching, trying to bring the overall level of people up in the gym to help get them get a little bit better in certain positions, to give myself harder training. All of those things are encouraging to me. And while it's very easy for me to sit here and say that I'm motivated, say I'm going to do all these things, it's even easier to do it, to say all those things after a tournament, especially a tournament loss. But ultimately, it's going to be down to actions. Actions will always be louder than words. And what I do day to day will make the difference over the long run instead of what I'm saying that I should do and get better at now. So That's all for now. You're going to hear some thoughts chatting with John and our producer Malwina. And then after that, you'll hear from me in Fiumicino Airport, hopefully after getting a taxi and safely arriving there. Apart from that, though, thank you very much to everyone who's been in touch over the weekend, who's been supporting the podcast or wishing us luck. Not just me, but Irish competitors over here at the Europeans. There is a lovely sense of community over here with a lot of the people who came to our training sessions or people that we've seen recently. People all been over here with their clubs and stuff. It's really, really class to see so many poor postured jiu-jitsu nerds over here. Social rejects, at least we're all in the one place, you know. That's nice, I suppose. Thanks for following the new Instagram at consistently above average. Please do if you haven't already. At consistently above average, one more time. And yeah, that's it. Still an episode to come this Friday as normal, which might be a little bit of dissecting of the event once I speak to a few more people about the logistics of how it was run or how they felt it was organized. But regardless, on the way next, a chat with John Luca and then a chat from the airport. And I will speak to you on Friday if I'm not saying properly goodbye to you in a little bit. Okay, good luck.
We are in a kitchen in Ostia. It is Sunday, the 20th of October, 2024. 8:44 p.m. Seven. Oh, yes. 8:44 local time. 7:44 back at home in Ireland. Andrew McGahan sitting alongside our first ever guest on the podcast. Very reluctantly, I'm sitting beside someone because I wanted to kind of do this a me thing, but you've been asking now for a few weeks. John is a ardent supporter of this podcast and has wanted it to happen for a while. And we said that we would do a review. I'm going to pass the microphone to you to speak for a little bit about what you thought of this weekend as a whole. And I'm going to ask you some questions.
Hi, guys.
Thanks, Andrew. It's an honor to be here.
Hi, guys. Happy to be here. I really don't know how this is going to sound in the other end because I've never done any of this, but I'll do my best. Andrew, please, some questions.
Well, you said you're going to rip me apart first.
Rip you apart. Andrew had two matches this weekend. First match, he did very well. I can't recall exactly how he won. I believe triangle it was armbar. Triangle armbar. Beautiful. Second match was a bit tough. He did fight a severely physical gifted opponent, huge hammy legs, I'd say. Tough match, but you know, we learn, we move, we grow, as they say. From a different perspective, looking at the growth ever
people
since.
People are only here to hear you abuse me, so you can do it.
I expected and
listen, point the microphone towards your mouth.
Oh, it has to be that way.
Yes.
Sorry. Anyways, I expected more from Andrew in the second match. I'll be quite honest and blunt. But again, it's sometimes hard to do jiu-jitsu when there's several factors in play. You could be nervous. You could be you couldn't have a good warm-up. Maybe your girlfriend is not there to watch you, or maybe you don't have a parent to watch over you. Who knows? Anyways, guys. In that case, I am quite happy from seeing Andrew and the way he performed, especially in his first match. But
sorry. Go back.
Go back to war.
What? Wait, Malwina. What did he say? If a person does, what did he say? I didn't have a proper warm-up. Girlfriend wasn't there to watch me. Or do you want to, am I going to edit that out or do you want to stand on that? Are you going to stand on that business?
I'm standing on that.
Okay, take the mic back.
I did not mean that in any negative way, shape, or form. It's okay.
No, stand on it.
I'm standing on it.
Stand on it, or the bottle will be put over your
head. As a guest, I do feel quite threatened at the minute. Anyways, that's the two matches you had over the weekend.
I am not particularly happy with how the second match went in terms of the cricket score. That was racked up towards the end of it. But that's sometimes how it goes. Maybe I don't belong at 73.5 kilo. Maybe I do. Maybe with a bit better game planning and stuff. That's the first time I've ever competed at that weight class. No gi. So we'll see how it goes. Everyone else from Ireland, we did not take detailed notes I suppose over the course of the day, there probably is a Facebook page dedicated. Are we going to tap that? What? There you go. There probably is a post on the Ireland Brazilian Jiu Jitsu Facebook page about all the people who medaled in different divisions. But if we're talking about today, a lot of the people who came to our training sessions were all competing today. And you were very happy to see how they all did.
I was particularly happy for three of the purple belts that came over. James, shout out to James Baker, Connor Maron, and Liam McBride. Liam and James Baker medaled. They got bronze in their respective divisions. Unfortunately, Connor didn't.
Connor got bronze too.
Oh, Connor did. No, it was the opposite way. Liam didn't do it.
Liam didn't get a medal, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Liam. And sorry, Connor. Anyways.
And Carl
Holtek, he came once to our sessions, yeah. Once, but he only did it for the curry. He only did it for the curry.
Yeah.
We'll give him a shout out anyways, but we're not taking credit from the coaches.
As someone who never got a medal at Purple Belt at a major, what would you give them as the advice as now someone who has medaled at a higher belt, but who has a good, would you tell them not to be content with a bronze and to work forward, or what would you be saying?
I wouldn't even be content with a gold medal. Always seek to go higher. No. I'm being honest. While do enjoy the small things and be happy for the small things, you should always aim for higher. Why just Europeans? Why not do Worlds? Why not do Panams? The world is your oyster, my friend.
You look so pissed off.
To stay to you. This podcast has built a reputation recently for being
consistent.
Not only consistently above average, but cringe-inducing, okay? And at least if it's me talking, I can own the cringe-inducing. But if I'm listening to you on top of it... Well, now I know how people react when they listen to me. So this is making me rethink the ethos, the business plan of the podcast. Because if I'm sitting here and I'm 1 foot away from you and I want to rip my skin off listening to that, what about the person who's driving their car? They're going to want to veer sideways into the safety barrier. That is insane. Oh, my God. Right. Let's indulge your ego finally once and for all.
Oh, no.
The breakout performance. Your breakout performance happened today. We had to beat off with a stick stern competition from budovideos.com, flowgrappling.com, grappleculture.com, jitsmag.com, Gracie Mag.com. Let's call a spade to secure this first thoughts from yourself after a good run today.
Is this the first, like...
This is your first official comment. You've turned down... I've paid good money to get this exclusive.
I think I did okay. Did I do okay?
You did more than okay.
Okay.
You did incredibly well. You submitted a multiple time world champion, Gi and No-Gi. Will we BGJ Heroes him? Okay, tell the people about yesterday first, your absolute run, and then I'll get the stats up, all right?
Okay, so we had three matches in the absolute. First two matches were submissions, because that's what we're always looking for. Unfortunately, in the third match, we find ourselves with a bit of a brick wall called Devonta Johnson. Now, this is by no means a means of criticizing him, but I will say, if you sign up to a jiu-jitsu tournament, you do jiu-jitsu. You don't do mercy grips and stand there doing nothing for 10 minutes. Unfortunately, we got ourselves double DQ, but, you know, we'll live. Life goes on. Two submissions in the back. Then we carry on to the fourth match of the evening, which was against my first match of the division to qualify for today, Sunday. In that match, I was facing Otto, a Finnish guy who I fought in my first ever trials last year. And he beat me by 2 points in overtime. Now, I was coming in like a hound out of hell. I had to make a point here. Like a bat out of hell. And I won in 30 seconds. I did a flyby. Almost slammed my head against the floor in the process. But I got the arm lock and I was happy enough. And then we move on to the second day. Any thoughts about the first day, my guy?
First day was great to see you get two quick submissions. Found it absolutely hilarious that the first guy was the image of your brother. Like, same stupid curly head of hair as your brother. It was so funny. That, yeah, well, look, it was, that was nice. Second one, the heel hook was with particular venom. And I think that the Devontae Johnson loss is going to be a very important thing for you, because you've realized that depending on what referee you get at a tournament like this, they are going to be happy to send the 2 years packing. They seem to be clamping down on that a lot more recently in terms of double DQs, even at majors. And I think that's great to see. Personally, I think, like, where was he today? Why did he not go, show up today? Did he think he was DQ'd? So he wasn't allowed to compete today?
He went home. He went home. He didn't show up today to his division.
Listen, you're a respectful man. I have it in front of me here. Gabriel Almeida, in fact, did not win Worlds as a black belt yet. Second place at Europeans as a black belt. Third place Pan Ams. Third place Nogi Worlds. American Nationals. He's won trials. He's won the Jiu-Jitsu Con. He's won AJP Grand Slam. Or has medaled at every belt in Worlds, all going up. But big win on your behalf. That was very good in terms of submitting Gabriel Almeida. But the biggest battle that you face has yet to be overcome, unfortunately. The Grapple Club are still refusing to acknowledge your existence. What more do you have to do?
Was it not enough beating the first seed in the whole super heavyweight division and then Gabriel Almeida back to back and submitting him? Was that not enough? What do I need to do?
We'll have to ask them.
OnlyFans?
We'll ask them. Luckily, Grapple Culture, who you have...
Shout out to Dominic.
Who you have on the back of your phone. They were there to capture it. What was your biggest takeaway of some of the other black belt finals that you either got to see or people who were like making runs towards their divisions?
It's good to see that my level is up there. I'm quite... happy to see that even though some people will consider that Ireland will have a small competition pool or wouldn't get that big of we wouldn't be considered the biggest threats when we go abroad, but I'll be quite honest, we can do some damage, boys. That's all that matters.
Great words from the Italian Venezuelan passport holder. Right. This is going downhill fairly quickly.
How much of a jokester?
No, I don't want you to be serious. The people who...
Can I take the piss?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Why? This is what I was trying to tell you.
Give me that mic back. Sorry, I was trying to be too serious. Let's all be honest here for a second. Why don't we get tested? This is a genuine question. I would have come off clean. Come on. Also, Gabriel Almeida won the absolute division. I technically tapped him. Does that mean I'm the absolute winner? Tell that to Devontae Johnson. Where was he today? Now that I feel a bit more let loose, yeah. What should we talk about now?
Well,
how strongly do you now feel about that there should be drug testing at all of these events now that you are competing at the higher level of black belt? And should that drug testing potentially drop down to colored belts as well?
The other thing is, do I think we should be testing everybody? Absolutely. I'm the skinniest and weakest man in the whole tournament. Well, you're malnourished. I'm not malnourished. That's all I have to say. So, yes, test a whole lot of them so then I can get... So my then bronze default medal can turn into a default gold medal.
We're not going back on that. I may leave this bit in because you will regret saying some of the things that you've already said. And for your future, I may take them out. Is that all right?
That's
do I have your permission to do that?
Oh, to keeping them or taking them out?
Both. If I determine later on that we should take them out.
Well, Joe Rogan doesn't do that.
Why are you so different to Joe Rogan? Are you trying to do your own thing?
I'm not Joe Rogan.
I know, you're not bald.
Yet. Receding. Do you think I have a receding hairline? I really hope the largest forehead in the room is not about to say that I have a receding hairline. Okay, that is insane. That is insane. Oh my God, the glare of that yolk. Anyway.
They're calling an SOS.
Anyway, this is a one-off episode just to release here. And I am flying back in less than 10 hours. I'll be less than 12 hours. I'll be flying back. You're here for another day or so. But yourself... Sam McNally and Rosa Walsh all in the black belt adult division today. Got silver.
How useless are we, the three of us? We couldn't get a fucking gold medal.
Well, I just think it's a, like, people shouldn't think that, oh, something's gone wrong since last year. Because last year there was 3 gold medals between Mara, Rosa and Marcus in terms of adult gold medals. But the level everywhere is obviously is going to have gone up. So you're not going to be able to just make it, say, 3 1-year, 4-year, 1-year, 5-1-year, 6-1-year, whatever. But like high-level sport where the best people in the world, reluctantly I'll admit you're one of the best people in the world, are competing. Like, someone has to win, and it can come down to margins, very fine margins, essentially.
Do you not think I'm good? Do you think I'm good?
Yes.
Point that mic over to you and say that again.
Yes, you are good. Wait, why would I not think you're good?
Somebody clip that. Somebody clip that.
So, you, Rosa, and Sam all went through tough divisions to be able to get medals. You had your absolute run as well. What do you think is the 2 things needed to increase those numbers from 3 to 6 in theory for people who do jiu-jitsu in Ireland, who are going to be, so say Ryan Mangan, I think, had a pretty good run. I think he lost a ref's decision in his second match in his division. Yeah. Adam Letty, new weight class, 82 kilo Letty, yeah. Looking yoked.
Hunched.
He's on a huge calorie diet, I believe, at the moment.
The water up there must be nice.
Down there. Bray, yeah, down there. Who else? Richie came up short. Like a very narrow match on advantages, whereas last year Richie had such a good run. Like, I don't think that it's too far away where you're going to see maybe someone from Ireland guaranteed in the last 8 every division. Do you want, as a man who hopes to earn money from the jiu-jitsu community in the future, do you want to give your honest opinion?
100%. Training sessions that we held, about 4 of them up in the north, Newry, in Team Taurus. Newry, is it?
Yes.
Yes, correct. We held 4 of them. We peaked at, are we saying the numbers?
Yes.
54 participants at one stage. The lowest was 48. That's okay. People were doing their own things.
Fact check, the lowest was 46.
Apologies. Anyways, but not just our sessions. Peter in Jungle was holding a session as well. I am aware that Sam McNally was holding a session as well in his gym. So there's people trying to dip their toes into the world of, you know, let's hold a get together and let's all train together and be friends. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the attitude is out there yet. Not for everybody, but some people are starting to pick up on it. And it's nice to see, hopefully, with today's and yesterday's results, considering that myself, one of the 2 organizers for the Newry sessions.
50% of the organizers have black belt European medals, which is an incredible achievement.
Unbelievable. Considering that holding this silver medal in my left hand, and our 3 beautiful participant purple belts. I'm saying participant because we are not taking the credit from the coaches. We're not Dima. I'm just being very clear about that. Your coaches did all the work. We just provided you an environment to test your skills. That is it. Correct, Andrew?
We didn't even do that. I'm going to just downplay it. We didn't even do that. We got a load of people together. We did a load of training. We had great training. We ate curry afterwards.
Amazing.
Some people had chilled. Malwina had a load of curry as well. Thought it was lovely.
I had to fight for it.
We had meals brought down from Belfast from Slim's Healthy Kitchen. I spent a fortune on fruit, cans of Coke Zero, bottles of water, loads of stuff like that. And we did it from a couple of perspectives. We did it from the perspective of wanting better training. John is shaking his, he's shaking his hands here. Apes together strong. We wanted to get as many people together to be able to train with each other as possible. I'm going to throw one curveball at you before we start to finish this up. Some people have quite stressful lives or teach or run gyms and whatever. Under different circumstances, I probably wouldn't be arsed going away cross-training on a Sunday. Do you know what I mean? Which is fair enough. But like the top of Ireland to the bottom of Ireland is probably like a 5 hour drive.
Six.
Okay. I'd say there's no, I'd say Newry is not more than 4 hours from anywhere in the country. You could drive 4 hours in a state in America and you would not, you wouldn't even be a third of the way across the state. Do you know what I mean? Imagine trying to go from Northern California to Southern California. That wouldn't work. So I think that distance and stuff like that is subjective based off what we're used to. Do you know what I mean? I know I have no problem driving to Newry for training. I live about 20 minutes away from the gym, 25 minutes away from the gym. But I know a lot of people who train with me in Dundalk who don't go to Newry because they haven't had to drive for 10 years to Newry multiple times a week to train like I have, where it's just kind of ingrained in me now, so it's not a problem. You have to drive to Blanchardstown all the time. You go there from Navan. Of course, the best thing about Navan is?
Nothing.
The road out of it. And that was a good one. Oh, brilliant. God, I should be paid more. But apart from that, we were very happy. I'm going to say that I disagree with you a little bit. When we have two microphones the next time and we can shout over each other properly, I would disagree with you on that a little bit more. I'm not saying that people are uptight as such. Maybe you are privy to more conversations than I am. I didn't get the feeling that anyone was shit talking us behind our back about us.
Hope not. We're a nice bunch.
50% of this duo is nice, and 50% is a medal. But we let you figure out which the two of those are. Apart from that, I had a great weekend in Rome. Pasta, pizza. I'm definitely better at this when I'm by myself, I have to say, because I can lock in. I can be in my little studio. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, would you like to add something?
Oh, yes. Shout out to Andrew McGahan's warm-ups. Unbelievably in the zone. I have to say it. I did a warm-up with him, and would you like to break down your warm-up?
Much like if I was the man who you claim takes credit for things, if I were to take credit for your success due to the warm-ups, tell everyone what we did. Just general synopsis of the warm-up routine.
I'll give it to you real fast. It's all based on timer. We spend about 90 seconds doing mindfulness. Just sit down, soak the atmosphere in, just breathe. Yeah, just like that, Andrew. And after that, just do your best moves. In my case, it's a slide-by. So we did slide-bys for about 10 repetitions, one set. And then we change it up for a few other different movements, let's call it. But the warm-up is intensive, keeps you on task, and you'll be ready to fucking go. I have the memory of a goldfish. You're drinking a 0.0 beer. That's all water. Anyways, unfortunately for me, Andrew here, my friend, compadre, as we will say in Spanish, he's not stuck up his ass like Dima is, and he will try to take credit for, the warm-up. But I will give him credit due to the fact that it did keep me on the zone. Sometimes I did find myself quite emotional, especially after beating Gabriel, or prior to beating Gabriel. Big name for me anyways. And I submitted him. Considering that I did that, I will say, Andrew McGahan, you have outdone yourself. Great coaching mechanics. You should applaud yourself. Let me give you a pat in the back.
That was nice, wasn't it, Malwina? Have you seen him like that before? Probably not.
Never.
Oh, that's lovely. Anyway, I'm going to, before these two start breaking out and doing it like rabbits, I'm going to turn this camera off. We're going to turn this stream off. And we didn't do too much in the warm-up, but episode 10 and a half. If you listened to 10 the other day and enjoyed it, sent me a message and stuff, I appreciate that. This is for the competitors, the people traveling home tomorrow with a bit of time to kill. After the Europeans, maybe you want to listen to this. We appreciate it massively. I'm going to be back on Friday as normal with a new episode, episode number 11. I have never had a 0.0 beer in my life. I have no idea why I really bought it. It was cheap. No, definitely not. The Coke Zero was nicer. But I think it's just, the aesthetic. Shout out Fight Aesthetic. The aesthetic of having the beer, kind of makes me look like a bit of a continental European, doesn't it? It's good, isn't it? Here we go. Here we go. Come on. Ciao. All right. That is just about all we have time for. You can hear it in the background, maybe. Maybe not. Maybe you just heard the chime. Regardless, I am sitting at gate E44, as is Ronan Deegan, as are a host of other Irish-Brazilian jiu-jitsu-related people. However, the man mentioned earlier on in the podcast, who was meant to meet us at 4:15, we told him be there for 4 o'clock, and we give the window until 4:15. We left at 4:20. We got a text message at 5:30. Oh, I turned my alarm off. He did not make it to the airport. His status, his transit, currently unknown. We must have rung 20 times between us. Oh, my phone was on silent. Wow, what a weekend, folks. What a weekend. So, this was the transit edition. We're going to do this a little bit more. We're heading away somewhere in November. Not going to just say where just yet. Heading away somewhere early November. And over and back on a day trip somewhere. So, think that we could get an episode there on the road. But back this Friday from home. Wish I had more people here that I could rope in here. But we are getting ready to board at this point. And I'm right up the front, because I had to check in at the airport this morning. Check-in was closed. Bit of a siege, bit of a nightmare, but it's all good. We got here. I'm right up the front, window seat as well. I'm going to sleep the entire way home because I'm exhausted. I would have liked to have had all of this edited and uploaded and published before I got on the plane. Instead, because I have an hour and a bit to kill before the bus in Dublin back to Dundalk, I'm going to do all of that back-end stuff in the airport once I land. Alright, so this is the bonus episode. Thank you for tuning in. Longer than a regular episode. Maybe they'll become more of a regular thing on top of that as well. Have a great week. I'll chat to you Friday morning at 7:15 or so in the morning, and I'll talk to you then. Good luck.